This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, it is time to get ready for camps. Everybody's reporting for duty, sir, in the NFL, and it also means extension season, new contracts, some holdouts, maybe some trade rumors. Lots going on in the National Football League and beyond.
Greatest reality show there is in sports. Good to be with you on a hump day. We are halfway through the year. We are getting ready to crescendo into our time. Yes, it's your time, as Herb Brooks used to say. Let's rock and roll, my friend. Lot to get to on a busy Wednesday for sure.
Let's start it off with some of those contract talks and maybe one contract that has not gotten done as of yet. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Yesterday, we brought you the story of Vita Vea saying he wanted out of Tampa Bay unless they can get him a new deal, and that hasn't happened yet. So there's all kind of trade rumors out there for big Vita Vea. Now, what about Baker Mayfield? So he reportedly will play the season without getting a new deal that they're going to say, hey, if we don't get this thing done before training camp, and guess what? Training camp starting, we're just going to go ahead and play this thing out. Jensen, it feels like this could be an impasse. Other reports saying Baker was insulted by the initial offer that the Buccaneers had made.
I've been there when the initial offer given to me was well below what I was worth. So I totally understand the reaction there. And to not counter kind of tells you that he's like, all right, if this is what you think of me, then I will take my talents somewhere else after this year. For what it is worth, Dave Mayfield will be compensated handsomely, a base salary of $10 million, a roster bonus just to be on the team of $17 million. He does carry a cap hit of almost $40 million and a dead cap value of a little over $59 million. So what all that means is that at the ripe old age of 31, he still thinks he's got it. He's betting on himself. We love that here on VSiN by the Books. A Lewis Ross administration always endorses getting what you are worth. So let's see that and let's factor that into the handicap, Dave. We no longer will subscribe to fading Baker Mayfield in circa millions. We are a supporter, Baker. You go get yours and we will tail that momentum headed into this season.
It is interesting because remember, it was Tampa Bay that got him off the football scrap heap and then gave him the new deal and was kind of team friendly, right? This is the last year of that kind of team friendly deal. And now Baker wants to get paid. And I'm sure the Buccaneers are going, wait, you were out of this thing. And then we brought you all the way back. That's going to be very interesting to see if this is the last year to kind of keep those guys together. You know, when we mentioned Vita Vea, that he might be out there in the trade market. Well, what about Jalen Carter? Would the Eagles think about, they're not going to let him go anywhere. The highest paid DT now in NFL history. So we saw what they did there on the heels of that Vita Vea news. He gets 4 years, $152 million, 106 of that is guaranteed. We know when he's on the field, what a difference he makes there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. And again, a Philly team that I think a lot of people are looking now that the drama, or at least we think, we were told that the drama of A.J. Brown is out of town. It is Jalen Hurts' team. And now the other side of the football had really come into focus, Dave, right, because of all the defections, of all the guys that have left here. Well, you get one of the big guys up front that we know has made such a difference since he took his first snap. Big, big deal here for Howie Roseman and company to solidify one of their best defensive players.
And a guy in your neck of the woods, this is a second time's the charm now, which is pretty amazing for Denzel Ward to become the highest paid defensive back again. So it's a 2-year deal now, $62.2 million and 52 and a third of that is guaranteed. So Jensen, you get paid that type of money once normally in a career. He's getting it twice now, top dollar for the top corner in the NFL.
Well done by his representation. Only Deshaun Watson has a larger cap hit for my Cleveland Browns at $40.9 million. Denzel Ward at $30.8. I just hope he's on the field long enough to make this contract stand up. He has had his issues health-wise, but make no mistake about it. His representation counting their hundos today in commission from what they were able to do. They get Jimmy Haslam again. He's not afraid to give out money, Dave. And let's see if Denzel Ward can make this stand up, not only this year, but for the life of this contract.
Brian O'Neill in Minnesota is not going anywhere. The two-time Pro Bowler as well. Four-year, $96 million extension. So, Jensen, sometimes it feels like these are not, by the way, deadlines. When you see all these deals come in, but you know this, and I certainly know this being around this game for a long time, that's the unofficial deadline that you try to get these deals done before they step foot on that field. Because players, if they feel like they're going into the last year or free agency, they're like, I don't want to walk onto that field without a new deal. That won't be the case here for Brian O'Neill in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't want to walk on the field, Dave, where I can have grown humans, particularly men that don't like each other, go and tackle you, and that can end your career. It's one thing where I can take a baseball from 60 feet, 6 inches, and impart the damage should I want to do that. But I totally respect what these guys try to do in making sure that that financial security is intact. Well done here. And also takes away, right, any of the other distractions. We're here to play football. You'll hear all the cliche. Yep. One of the great times of the year, Dave, for cliches. Best shape of their life. Came in looking like a different person, although he's going to have the same name on the back of the jersey that he had last year. Just a completely different guy. You'll never recognize him. Always one of the more hysterical times to see beat writers and the media just get all over themselves about these guys that come in and all these little sound bites that we'll hear in the next week or so.
Yeah, so unofficially, it didn't have to get all these deals done, but officially they are done here for a lot of the bigger names out there before they step foot on that field as we get ready for camps in earnest here. We know that when they step foot in Las Vegas, it's going to be Kirk Cousins will be QB1. So KC8 will be QB1, and that, of course, is over Fernando Mendoza, the number one overall pick. Aiden O'Connell, by the way, still on this roster too. He's third string out there in Las Vegas, so he's made it through many different administrations out there now. But this is not unexpected to us, Jensen, but just kind of fortifies here, certainly in the betting markets, if you're looking, it's going to be Kirk barring injury here that gets that first shot to be QB1.
Yeah, and again, Matt Eumanns, a month or so ago, coming on with us, talking about one of the early regular season props that he was going to play was the under passing yards for Fernando Mendoza. I think we're in a great spot here. Remember, we've done the averages. You basically got to get through 8 weeks to feel pretty confident that that under prop will hit. For what it's worth, Dave, man, you look at the opening part of this Raiders schedule, Dolphins, Chargers, then at the Saints, at the Chiefs, home against the Patriots, home against the Bills, and at the Rams. The only hard part here, because we do respect Kirk Cousins, and he's going to be the consummate professional. He's going to go out and try and prove he's still got it. Picking where to fade them, because I know they're going to be an interesting spot in week one with Miami. I think you'll see them be a popular fade with the Chargers there in week two. But I'd be anxious to see where people map them out of. Where's the time you're going to pick on the Raiders here, especially in the first half of the season?
We mentioned, obviously, the big story over the weekend was LeBron James getting that two-year, $8 million deal to go to Philadelphia. How about Draymond Green? He got a one-year deal. He's going to stay in Golden State. It's going to be his 15th season there. 1 year, $27.7 million for Draymond to stay in the Bay. So, again, Jensen, older superstars here. This one is not leaving where he's been his entire career.
Yeah, boy, talk about giving out money and hey, credit where it's due. This guy is one of the enforcers of his time. You look at where a couple of the deals that have been consummated here, not only Draymond Green, De'Anthony Melton, $5.5 million deal for this year, 5.75 for next year, and then an unrestricted free agent after that. But all your money's tied up in Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Kristaps Porzingis coming in here for this year and for next year. And let's see what some of the draft picks do. Yaxel Lindeberg's going to be some big minutes, I would imagine, with the load management for the AARP club there at Golden State. So we'll see what they do. Everyone chasing Oklahoma City and San Antonio. And I think our Denver Nuggets are going to be back in there again as well.
It's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out there. I think they thought they might be getting LeBron James. They don't, but they do get Draymond back for one more year, $27.7 million. Is this one more start for the talented left-hander in Detroit, and that's Tarek Skubal. He is expected to take the bump today, and potentially this could be the last time you see him in a Tigers uniform as they host the Orioles today, Jensen. You think this could be the last hurrah that we see for Skubal?
I think it is, and I think it's the smart thing to do if you're the Tigers. Listen, we cashed on the run line play with them last night. You never really have must wins in the length of a baseball season. Yesterday kind of felt a tipping point. If you fall to Baltimore after what you did on Monday, then is this start moot here? And the way the schedule sets up here, Dave, they will go to the Athletics in Sacramento after an off day tomorrow. The Tigers will. His next scheduled start would be after the trade deadline. So I think if you're a Tiger fan, you get a chance to get down to Comerica Park today, you might want to do it. I think this is it for Skubal and Motown.
One other thing just to keep in mind, in if you're betting some of these markets in the NFL, like the Comeback Player of the Year Award, Tank Dell has been cleared. So this is a story and a guy, a really popular guy down there in H-Town. Jensen, not only has he been cleared, fully cleared to be in camps starting here for the Houston Texans. So again, we got to see it on the field, but that's a big step one that he's not on the PUP list like Micah Parsons is, by the way, in Green Bay. So when you're starting to look at those markets, I think you'd have to go down Narrative Street. I think Tank Dell would be a very popular choice here if he's able to be productive this year on the field.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch. What a receiving corps. C.J. Stroud, come on, baby. He looked like going to his first day of seventh grade coming in yesterday, but let's hope he's all grown up here in 2026.
It was a very interesting look, shall we say, if you didn't see it for C.J. Stroud as he made his way into camp. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The NFL preseason, if you can believe this, is just a couple weeks away. Got the Hall of Fame game coming up in about a week. And this is your last chance to lock in the early bird pricing on our football special, which is just $175 before the price goes up. And it will go up next week. So get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, divisional races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you're going to get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from all of our experts. You're going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, do all that before the 1st of August, and the price is going to go up after that. So get it done now. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. And we mentioned it off the top of the show. We were having an interesting conversation even during the break here, Jensen, about Baker Mayfield, that he's probably more than likely now that you start camp, he's going to play it out. This is kind of the way things go these days. Again, it's an unofficial first day of camp where if you don't get that deal done, some teams like the Steelers, that's just the way the Steelers do business. If we haven't got a contract done, we don't even talk to the player again until after the season's done. That's not true with every team. The Buccaneers and Baker has now said, well, you guys didn't get a new deal done by me. That means I'm going to play it out. And as you alluded to, Jensen, I'm going to bet on myself. And you start to look into next year already. And yes, there's supposed to be a great crop coming in from the rookie camp this year, you would think, or next year. But Baker's going to bet on himself, kind of like he did before, and say, I'll go find a home if this is not going to be my home. What do you make of this year with the Buccaneers? Because, Jensen, that is a bit of a flag to me when I see Vita Vea, and then 24 hours later I see Baker Mayfield basically saying, fine, you don't want to pay me? I'll find my work elsewhere.
Well, this is always the unique part of being in the locker room is we are all aware as athletes of not only our guys that are beloved and our team leaders that are not getting the respect on the contract side. And it does unify you. It does galvanize you a little bit. So you almost as though, remember when Baker made a concerted effort to be able to get Mike Evans, the catch and the yardage, right, to hit a bonus. Yeah. That's something that you know. It is in your mind. We do this in September, Dave, in baseball, where you know that guys have escalators or certain contract incentives. You're going to try and find a way to get them there because we have a finite amount of time to make the money. Ownership doesn't. You can own the team until you die, okay? And you got plenty of time to make all your billions. You do it every single year. Any owner that cries foul about making money, you're ridiculous. So I think there's a part of this narrative, Dave, that if indeed this is Tampa Bay's front office just saying, we need to pivot, and the items that we think we can invest in are not currently on this roster, then that is going to be a motivator for this group. Because it's the other side of the coin, Dave, is if Vita Vea is going to, we'll take him for instance, if he sits out, okay, he's only hurting himself. And I always wondered this as a player, like, I'm under contract. I signed this contract. All right. But I'm going to not honor my commitment here. Like that never equated to me. Okay. You negotiated it in good faith. You signed your name on the line. You agreed to this worth at this point. Now, if there is language in the contract, Dave, during the agreement that says there could be a mutual opening of it, if you will, to renegotiate the rate, completely different.
Right.
Okay, that was two sides coming together saying, all right, if performance warrants, then we can have a conversation. Doesn't guarantee it, we can have a conversation. This is different with Baker. End of the contract, we're trying to he's proven his worth, he has done so much, he's played hurt, and whatever that offer was, and I'm sure we'll find out at some point, but whatever it was, you got to be pretty, pretty lowballed to not even counter. Dave, that's just common business to counter. That is, I'm sure with you on the red flag nature there, but I think it might galvanize this group.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing too, because inside that locker room, he's going to play for his guys, as you mentioned. So it could be like, even if he's mad at management, right? You're going to go do your job and be a pro. And I think that's exactly what Baker Mayfield would do at this point. The Vita Vea situation, as you alluded to, could be slightly different when you're saying, I want out or else I'm not going to play. That's very, very different from what Baker's saying, who's saying, I'm going to play it out now. You're not going to give me a new deal. That's fine. It's either going to cost you at the end of the year, or I'll take my wares elsewhere, and we'll find out if that, in fact, he does have a home somewhere else. I would think he would have one as long as he's injury-free at the end of this year. And then that's where the interesting part is. Does he play differently knowing his deal is up at the end of the year? Because Baker's a guy that sacrifices his body a lot for the team. And you just wonder if it's not the same Baker Mayfield. Are you feeling dangerous, Bake? I wonder if that changes the way he plays a little bit. I wouldn't think so, but you never quite know when money is on the line. Kirk Cousins, I love covering Kirk Cousins back in his DC days. He's a very studious guy. We all think that this is the perfect guy to have the number one pick in the draft learn from, right? That if you're Fernando Mendoza, there couldn't be a better situation for you. But I also wonder, Jensen, if Kirk looks at it like, hey, I'm still the starting quarterback of this football team. Eventually, the kid's going to get the reins. But until then, this is my job. I think that's exactly the way Clint Kubiak looks at it as well.
You know, for every position, there's got to be competition, right? The best player has to play. And that's not just what I'm going to see. You guys are going to see it in the preseason games. You know, we as coaches, we're going to see who's the best guard is, okay, best quarterback across the board. There's battles everywhere on the roster. So it's important for me to be fair to the players is to put the best player out there. When we go out to practice tomorrow, Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback. He's the guy. And he's going to get a ton of reps. And he deserves them because he's played really good football. But I want Fernando and I want Aiden to push him.
There you go. I think he hit on a lot of truths there that the players know inside those locker rooms, whatever sport it might be, who should be the starting guy, right? Now, look, it could be a little bit different in the NBA. Sometimes you want to keep a guy as a sixth man to come in as a weapon. That's different. But really, in baseball and certainly in football, you know who should be where in that depth chart. And if you don't play the right guy, Jensen, it will matriculate into the rest of that locker room. And then the other guys are going, oh, it's politics. It's not about performance. And I think what he's saying right now is, we're going to play the guy, and right now that's Kirk Cousins, who's clearly earned it with his resume versus a guy who's just starting his resume.
I totally agree. I am excited to see, and selfishly for our wager, how healthy Kirk Cousins can be through the first half of the season. Because I want to start looking at week eight, week nine, where we, barring injury day, the beginning of the Raiders schedule is really nothing to be trifled with. And I'll even say, because of the group and it's a first year head coach, you say it all the time, you just don't know what it's going to look like until you get it out there. Yep. And signal calling, communication, like it's a whole different deal on game day. So that game against Miami, I think advantage Raiders in the slightest of ways, because it is at home. Okay. So you at least get to start at home. You're in a familiarity, you know, you have the home crowd behind you, or at least we think some of the home crowd. Then you have the Chargers. And the Chargers and the Saints are going to have some decent defenses this year. Looking at where we are with the Chiefs, and then the Patriots and the Bills and then the Rams. Okay, so listen, if it is record-based and Clint Kubiak's like, all right, we got to play the kid. We got to start seeing what we have. Wouldn't you think that home game against the Jets week eight, that would be a lot? You're not running him out against Myles Garrett and the Rams and all that. If they're going to make a switch, you're probably waiting through half. You're giving a runway, would you expect, for Kirk because of the veteran nature and the expectation of what this year is, especially in year one of Clint Kubiak?
I would think so. And again, I think it is one of those deals where Kirk, just kind of knowing him a little bit, at least back in our DC days, his mentality. Yeah, he always wanted to be the guy over Robert Griffin III. You remember, they were drafted in the same class. But He can also be a teacher. I think he is the type of guy, he's the right guy, because there's a lot of other older quarterbacks, Jensen. I remember when Ben Roethlisberger was still in Pittsburgh, and you know, they're drafting kids and they're like, is it your job? He's like, not my job to get these kids ready. Like, my job is to be the starting quarterback. That's not Kirk Cousins, right? So they're built slightly differently. And so to that end, I think you're spot on that. I think Kirk's going to be the guy that knows, I'm keeping the seat warm, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that at this stage of my career, to be the mentor. And hey, if I can play really good football, then I think Fernando is going to be okay. And the fan base will be okay. If we're winning football games all of a sudden, let's ride this Kirk Cousins thing out as long as we can too. So it is that double-edged sword, but I do think it takes a different guy and kind of a special guy to be able to do that. And I think Kirk Cousins will be the right guy to do that in Las Vegas. But it'll be interesting, Jensen, if he doesn't play well, then does that, you know, onboarding process get cut down? And the fans are like, get him out of here. Get the old guy out of here. Let's get the kid in here. I want to see him play and see what he can do. There's an old man that's going to be playing for the 76ers this year. What can Jonathan Von Tobel expect to get out of LeBron James? Does it make them bettable? We'll discuss with JVT next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We've got a lot going on the network, as we always do. That's why Adam Burke's going to join us a little bit later on, our managing editor, our Wednesdays with Wes, as we'll break down what's going to go on in Detroit in the world of golf this weekend as well. But right now, we always love catching up with our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel. Of course, he does a great job with Stormy Bonantoni on Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the network. Also, Pod to the Futures podcast with Mitch Moss. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT, joins us this morning, as he always does, on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, JVT. We got to ask you, because we haven't talked to you yet, since the King decided to go to Philadelphia. Yep. When you saw that it was official with all the different, I saw your tweet about the prediction marks. Boy, what did they know? And yet he ends up here. Is this the right landing spot in your eyes for LeBron at this stage of his career?
I mean, it's right in the sense of he's going to maximize his probability of winning a championship. It's one of the better teams that he can join. I keep arguing, and Zach Cohen does as well. I mean, I guess there's no point in arguing anymore, but they're like the real, true, great basketball fit, I thought, was actually Minnesota. They didn't really have anything at power forward. He slots in nicely. They were going to be very good, especially with him there. So I can understand maybe why he chose Philly, path of least resistance potentially in the Eastern Conference, not having to go through Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and the others. So I think it makes sense. They're going to be a very good team. I think they're a little top heavy. You guys have this projected lineup you could throw up. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, Jalen Brown, Joel Embiid, and LeBron James are a good starting five. But you're really hoping LeBaron Fialon, who had a really good summer league, is going to actually stick and continue how good he was out here in Las Vegas. I guess getting KCP is good, but he had some pretty poor seasons over the last couple of years. And then you really kind of fall off after Dean Wade, and especially that center rotation. I mean, Adem Bona is your primary backup center. You know, you get some questions as to how this bench shakes out, but it's arguably the best starting five in the National Basketball Association, and that'll probably give you enough. But Will Embiid's healthy. And here's the question, I think, really, and I asked this to a Philly writer. We had him on the other day. Embiid might be the odd man out, guys. I mean, if you look at this, and if I were to just remove Joel Embiid's name with Maxey Edgecombe, Jalen Brown, and LeBron James, this is a group that can be really good in transition, really good at getting up and down the floor, pretty athletic. Embiid doesn't really fit that mold. So maybe we're going to be talking about down the road, how does Embiid fit in all of this? Because this is a move for LeBron and the move for Jalen Brown that screams, we're building around Tyrese Maxey, not Joel Embiid anymore.
Going to be fun to watch, right? And we'll see what the physicality and the stamina, the cardio effect will be on Joel Embiid and what his health will be like up and down the court. That is the operative word in Colts camp, too, is Daniel Jones. We played a little Pat McAfee reaction yesterday, JVT, when Daniel Jones said, yep, plan to be out there, full go. What a recovery for him. And I know you saw it, and we talked about it with you last year, but with a tale of two halves for the Colts. First half of the season, amazing. The injury happened, and it all falls apart. Expectations for you on the quarterback front there, and also a very competitive AFC South as well.
Yeah, I mean, so it's the Anchorman thing, right? Where he taps a cigarette on the desk and he's like, I don't believe you. Like, I don't believe that this is going to be something that could be effective for the Indianapolis Colts when you're coming off of an Achilles injury as close to the season as you suffered it. And remember, it was December 7th. The other part of this is athleticism is such a big part of his game. He's not running for 100,000 yards. He's not a true dual threat quarterback, much like a Lamar Jackson, but athleticism is part of what makes Daniel Jones Daniel Jones. Elusive in the pocket, the ability to stretch some plays, a threat in the red zone. And so if you're not able to do all of those things, if you're Daniel Jones, what kind of a game are we talking about here? And I keep like pounding my desk table, whatever I'm sitting at on this, guys. If you look over his last five starts, Daniel Jones had started to regress statistically. Everybody wants to remember the start to the season, and that's great. His turnover-worthy plays had skyrocketed over his last five starts or so. He was putting the ball in danger. He was nowhere near as effective as a passer. The decline was starting already before the injury had occurred, and I think people just want to blindly remember the great start to the season and are completely forgetting that he had started to take a turn down the wrong path. So if all of a sudden you don't have the ability to be athletic, if that version of Daniel Jones, which had started to appear before the injury popped up, is going to be the Daniel Jones that is starting for the Colts in week one, this could get pretty bad for Indianapolis. I don't think your edge rushers are particularly great. I think there's a case to be made that up the middle, to use a baseball term, with Buckner, the drafting of C.J. Allen, they're going to be relatively solid. And then corner could be good, too. Charvarius Ward's actually healthy. We know Sauce Gardner can be great, too. But I think that there's more flaws with this team than the market, even at 7.5, has given them credit for. So I think there's a couple of different ways to look at it. And to tie in the AFC South, Jensen, I think the Titans are going to be a pretty solid team. You know, you have these winners, you know, or more wins than markets that are up there like DraftKings. The Titans are plus 180 to have more wins than the Indianapolis Colts. You can get them over 2-1 to finish third in the division. I think that this is one where the Colts find themselves at the bottom of the division because I just don't buy what they're really selling here at quarterback. And for the division as a whole, I mean, pick one of Houston and Jacksonville and throw one in a hat and then pull one out. I wouldn't be surprised if either one wins it, but I think I'd lean a little bit toward Jacksonville. I picked them in the guide only because they seem to be having a little bit more balance. I don't trust CJ Stroud, especially the way he walked into camp the other day with that backpack looking like a middle schooler. And I do think that this team still has its issues on offense going through yet another offensive coordinator. I think that you're really going to have to try to look at this with Houston and say, at the end of this year, we really have some choices to be made at the quarterback position.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And I kind of feel like, JVT, that Shane Steichen got the pass. He got the hall pass, if you will, last year with Daniel Jones getting off to that great start. And then you had the first injury, and then that leads to the second injury, and then he's done for the year. Where are you on Steichen? Because for a win total of 7.5, it shows you, at least in the marketplace, the expectations are not very high. And at some point, I know it's new ownership now that Jim Irsay had passed away before last season, and you pass it down the rung, and maybe they didn't want to make any changes right away. But it does feel like if that was the collapse that happened, you can't have something like that happen again, where I would assume he might be looking for a new line of work.
You know, he could. Actually, I think out of all this, Steichen is one of the better play callers and coaches in the NFL, Dave. I think he's done a really good job. I mean, look at his tenure with the Indianapolis Colts and what he's had to work with, what he's turned around. He took Gardner Minshew to within a drop pass of making it to the playoffs 2 years ago. You know, that's true. He has done with Daniel Jones here has been really solid. You know, we could say what you want about Jones regressing. He was part of an offense that Steichen had constructed that had maximized a lot of his talents. It was off to a brilliant start last season. And then, of course, not really maybe being dealt the greatest hand when it comes to Anthony Richardson. We know what the skill set was, but I think that all comes back to what has Ballard been doing in setting up this team for success? Chris Ballard, of course, the general manager, they continue to kind of roll that out there. I know that was one of the burning questions in the NFL guide as well with Ballard's tenure. So I think Steichen's actually pretty good. By the way, former UNLV quarterback Shane Steichen, we should always note that. Oh. But I do think that Steichen's done a pretty good job as being a floor raiser for these offenses. And if they were to let him go, I think it would be a mistake, because I think he'd land somewhere and be really, really good. And I think that he, here's your point, you know, maybe gets a pass, however you want to phrase it, but I think you just want to give him something solid, quarterback, and see what he can work with, because he's had this team float around 8 wins almost every single year that he's been there, and it was one play away from making to the playoffs a couple of years ago.
All right, buddy. We get a big Monday next week. The MLB trade deadline, a lot will be happening there, and also the debut of our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. I know you were tasked with the SEC. I actually am very excited to see how you handicapped it. Without giving away the store here, now that the work is complete, some part of your write-up or maybe a team that yep. jumped out to you that might be under the radar, considering it does feel a bit top-heavy with Georgia and Texas as the top two teams in the conference.
Yeah, we did this on the podcast the other day, but I think the one thing that I came away with, Jensen, the team that really surprised me was Tennessee's loaded, man. Their skill positions are absolutely fantastic. They have all of the returning production when you look at what's coming back for this team. You have an offense that's got an offensive line that is going to be in contention for the Joe Moore Award. And I think what's really going to be a question is Faison Brandon, their true freshman, five-star kid. I would expect that he's going to win this job here in camp over George McIntyre, the redshirt freshman as well. And I think that they're going to be very deadly on offense with everything they have coming back here. Heupel, since he has taken over the program, that team has averaged over 30 points per game. They've been very, very good and very effective. I think your real questions are defense. They're really rebuilding defensively up front. But I think that when you talk about bringing in Jim Knowles, maximizing your defense as a whole, Tennessee's win total is 7.5. And if Faison Brandon actually hits as a five-star true freshman at quarterback, you're looking at a team that I think has some real potential to score some upsets and be kind of a pain in the ass in the SEC that many don't really expect. It's not like their win total is like 4. Again, it's like 7.5. But I came away out of all of this thinking, you know, if everything hits for Tennessee, the variance goes in your direction. You talk about a team that's 450 to make the college football playoff playing in the SEC. I really like what Tennessee brings to the table a ton. And that was one of the teams that when I came out of this, my opinion, I didn't really have one. Like I like to tell Stormy, I try to go in with like a blank slate on these teams and really just take in all the information and see what's going to happen. And Tennessee was the one that I came out of this exercise thinking, dude, that team might actually be one with real strong upside in the SEC.
And I know they like to say that it just means more there in the SEC, but JVT, how many teams realistically do you think might be able to make the college football playoff?
I mean, I think off the top of your head, we're talking about like 4, maybe 5. It depends on how they want to handle it. But I mean, Texas, Alabama, what are we talking about? Georgia, of course. And then you have the Texas A&M, Oklahoma kind of dynamic. And if they're going to be able to make it in, I think 3 seems like a pretty safe bet. Maybe 4, Dave.
And I wonder, I'm going to be intrigued by Ole Miss this year, year one after Lane. And it's interesting. We don't know what it's going to look like for Lane at LSU. But, man, you got a really good conference to break down. So, everybody, check out the College Football Betting Guide. It's coming out soon. JVT, we appreciate you as always. Give him a follow on X. Meet JVT. Check him out. Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern right here with Stormy, Bond, and Tony. We're going to Detroit next. Who's going to win the Rocket Mortgage Classic? That's next right here on VSiN by the Book.
Tuned in. into VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that are going to put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest absolutely free of charge. One winner is going to receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another one is going to get a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Now, both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, you can pick your studio, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. All you have to do is visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here back with you. We're going to have our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds at the very end of this program, as we do each and every Wednesday, to get his expertise. And again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you would already have access to his selection. So no better time than the present to do that. But Jensen, we like to bet the build on these things. We like to take a look at a couple guys to watch each and every week before you make those placement market bets. What do you have to kick off your lineups this week? And I wonder if a youngster can crack your lineup this week.
All right. So again, weather going to probably play a little bit of some havoc potentially over the weekend, Dave. So factor that in for some guys that if you think they can make the weekend, then they'll have to deal with maybe some wet conditions. But the overall scoring conditions look good early. Doesn't look like it's going to be super windy here in the greater Detroit area. Let's start with FanDuel. Okay. And that's usually where we can shop at the top with a little bit more of the heavy hitters. I'm going to go with Cameron Young, Dave, just because it feels like the highest floor and I get the most consistency here. I get it. It's nothing earth shattering, but his course history is really strong. Multiple top sixes that he's had previously, power and approach. This is a guy that is suited really well for this course, as is Wyndham Clark, another stud that we can add to the lineup. Already a great season. I'm sure that he'll be a popular play here, but I think he's good leverage relative to where the other chalk might be in DFS for this week. Russell Henley, plug and play, man. High floor, kind of a middle premium guy, but the ball striking is consistent. Obviously the iron play fits the approach, and you got to be good with your approach here, knowing what the Detroit Golf Club is going to ask of you. Then I shopped a little bit lower, Dave, and I'll get your thoughts on a couple of these guys. Eric Cole at 9,500, I felt was a good medium range guy. His form, second at Colonial, remember, in a playoff loss, ironically to Russell Henley. He was tied for eighth at the Memorial, solid tee to green. His par four scoring is good. But let's see what he can do with a lot of those, because there's only a two par fives, if I remember correctly, from relooking at it.
Yep.
Adrien Dumont-Deschartes is a speculative ad for me, but one at the lower price point that he's not going to be high owned, but it might be one of those dart throws that might help us. It's a higher variance play, but it gives us some salary relief to get the big boys at the top. And then Patrick Rogers, a similar value. He's a veteran. He can post solid week to week. So that's my original thought here for the FanDuel build here for the Rocket Classic. Your thoughts on at least this one, then I'll give you my DraftKings one.
Well, first of all, I like what you're doing there, because people should take note. And I know that the guys, if you listen to Long Shots each and every week, they're going to let you know about this type of stuff. And it's important that the course setup has changed. You mentioned only two par fives now. That is very different from what they've had in years past, right? So they've switched this from a par 72 down to a par 70. If you really want to get in the weeds here, it's hole 7 and 17 that used to play as par fives. Those are now playing as par four, so they're going to be a little bit longer out there. So I like what you've done with your board right off the top, that you get some of the longer hitters out there. So kind of like last week at the 3M Open, you would think that length certainly would be an advantage. So I think that's where Cameron Young and Wyndham Clark at the top of your board make a whole lot of sense. I'm not going to give away my picks right now, but I will just say one of those guys, Jensen, did make their way onto my card as well. And I did have one other guy on there that's going to be a poor man's Russell Henley that we'll get to a little bit later on in the program. So, you don't think of Russell as a longer guy, but accuracy. And he's very, very accurate, as you well know. So I think that those are really good guys to have in a course setup like this right off the top. I'm already peeking for the people that are watching on FanDuel Sports Network and on YouTube TV to your second build that you have on DraftKings. And I will say another one of my guys has made your way onto this board.
Okay, so three guys that will hold over: Cameron Young, Russell Henley, Eric Cole, all going to make it on. Jake Knapp is a guy that has come on strong here. Again, 3M last week, top 13 that he was as far as the finish. Ball striking has been excellent. The shots gained, I think, is going to be really critical here, and it's been something that he has been really good. Already a course horse here. I believe he finished tied for fourth the last time he was out here. The power plus the irons. That's what I really like with Jake Knapp. He's probably going to be a bit more popular, but that's okay. I think he's got a great chance to be deep into the weekend. Ricky Castillo, upside value here. Okay, we just had him last week before. Higher variance again, but lower ownership on the DFS side. So we'll take the salary relief, as we will with Andrew Putnam. And I loved getting him at this cheap price because he has had excellent course history here, Dave. Tied for eighth last year at 19 under. The short game, he's a putting specialist. He can capitalize on the birdie opportunities. Man, you find him through. I don't think a lot of people are looking at him way down the board. This would be excellent value to be able to get through when no one is looking at the bottom there. So some guys that we held over from the FanDuel build, and I'm guessing by your reaction, the Jake Knapp play is going to be one that you are really going to get around to.
I'm not a poker player, and that's for obvious reasons. I can't contain and curb my enthusiasm. He's one of my two to watch here this week, Jensen. It is Jake Knapp. And you know me, like I played him a lot last year. I hadn't played him at all this year because I was worried about the back, right? And I don't like to play injured players. He feels like he's completely over that now. And you saw it last week. You saw a couple of those low rounds that Jake Knapp had. And on a golf course like this, where you need that length that we just alluded to, Jake Knapp is going to have that. It's probably the most syrupy swing that you can have out there in the PGA Tour. Now, Denny McCarthy, and little Denny was a big play for me last week, and he got there with a tied for third. I think, like, we're all talking about, and we should be talking about Jackson Kooyvan right now as the rookie right now that's really taking the golf world by storm. And then he beat Scottie Scheffler, who came in second. And then the major champions that were back there in third, it was guys like Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama. Denny McCarthy was tied with Mats and Brian Harman at 20 under par on a lengthier golf course at the 3M. And that's why I'm going to go back to Denny McCarthy here with Jake Knapp, who had a really good finish last week as well. And Jensen, something about guys that hit their pocket, and sometimes it happens early in the year, right, where you see these guys pop up week in, and week out, the same names. That seems to happen at some juncture. And that's why I think Knapp will be right there again this week. And I think Denny McCarthy, you can find him around 100-1. If you want to put a pizza money play on it, I will tell you I have. And again, never won on the PGA Tour. I'd like to see that change for arguably the best putter still out there on tour, because I do think he's one of those guys that once we get the, you know, we finalize what this champion's path and the challenger's path is going to look like, and when that eventually goes into action, Denny might be one of those guys that has to go to the other tour, if you will. I think with a good field, and it's a very good field this week, and playing really good golf, which he is, you can find really good values. I'm going to be searching those top 20s today, and I'm sure I'll have those plays in pocket for everybody tomorrow in the placement markets. But Jake Knapp, Denny McCarthy, almost polar opposite golfers, but I think both right now with their skill set, he's a really poor man's Russell Henley. That's what I'll say about Denny McCarthy, okay? He doesn't strike it as well as a guy like Russell Henley does, but he putts it better than Russ does. And if the iron play can be there for Denny, I think he'd have a really good shot at being one of those longer shots that people are not looking at again this week and almost have forgotten about from a week ago. But I'm with you on Jake Knapp. This is the type of player, Jensen, that when you get that kind of you take off the top off, and all of a sudden they just start flying in from everywhere with this guy. He's got one of those 60, 61, dare I say 59s out there. Now, I don't think you'd be able to do that at this version of this golf course with the changes they've made to it. It's going to play harder. I think it's going to play harder than it has in years past, but still, that's the type of guy that can go super low that I'm really glad you have him in your lineup too. And you're not worried about the injuries anymore, right? I mean, I'm not anymore with Jake when you watch the way he's swinging it now.
Yeah, no, obviously that would be a reason to kind of pivot off of that. But again, going to stick with just kind of being disciplined about no outrights for me this week. I know we'll talk our best bets upcoming later on, but I felt a pretty balanced bet to build. FanDuel, again, you get a chance to get some of the bigger ticket guys up top and some value definitely in the DraftKings lineup. So excited to see this one play out starting tomorrow morning.
I will say I have four outrights. I had five outrights for a guy that I thought would be a perfect fit for this golf course, but Brooks Koepka has WD'd, so he's not going to be there. Very interesting. I don't know what's going on with Brooksy here. For a guy who couldn't wait to get back in the PGA Tour, he's going to play all these tournaments, and all of a sudden, he is withdrawn. So hopefully everything is okay in the world of Brooks Koepka. Again, we'll get our official picks here from Wes Reynolds later on in this program in our Wednesdays with Wes. Also going to have Adam Burke join us in hour number three. Lots going on here at the network. Lots going on in the NFL. Going to keep you updated as training camps have broken. Maybe some guys are looking for a way out. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.